Hello and welcome to 45 Degrees, a podcast brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal. This is a sub-series of the Voices of Pueblo podcast, where we try and tell the story of Pueblo in a deeper way. This podcast is brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal. You can find us at pueblostarjournal.org, and you can see all of our pickup locations. We release our print edition every first Friday of the month. Let's jump right into the podcast.
Welcome again to our Voices of Pueblo 45 Degrees series, where we work with a local artist to dig deeper into the meaning of each mural making up the Pueblo Levee project. Running along the Arkansas River, these murals lean 45 degrees back and are up to 28 feet tall and nearly four times as wide. This podcast is brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal. Shannon Palmer is here to discuss her contributions to the project. Shannon is an incredible artist who has established herself here in the Pueblo community. She has already completed one mural on the Levee project and has another in progress. Shannon, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
What is your connection to Pueblo?
What a great question to start with. I tell people Pueblo absolutely saved me. I kind of had a wreck of a family life. And so I came to Pueblo when I was 17 years old or so. I am from Colorado Springs, but I consider Pueblo my hometown because it just really took me in and has provided me so many opportunities.
Can you describe your mural, painting with words, if you will, for our listeners?
Sure. So I last year completed a 100-foot long mural that is the history of St. Mary Corwin Hospital. It was a grant funded project. So I designed the whole thing and wrote the grant for it independently. So the hospital actually wasn't involved in the project. I just wanted to kind of surprise them as it popped up on the wall. But I got the chance to partner with Rawlings Library and pull out all their old archives of the hospital and kind of look and see all the different buildings it's ever been in. So since it was going to be part of the historical section of the levee, I wanted to show the story and kind of the evolution since it's been such a like a staple in Pueblo. So it starts with it's got two big icons on either side of the mural, life and death. And then it starts with the old CFNI hospital. And then it kind of blends into the old St. Mary's Hospital, which was in the middle of town, but it burned down. So that building doesn't exist anymore. And then it leads into the current campus. So it's kind of the storytelling of all of the buildings it's ever been in.
That's interesting. I didn't realize so directly that it tied into the transitional experience of life and death, too. Mm-hmm. So that's a fun one.
Any way to sneak like skulls and weird stuff onto the levee, I had to do.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
So I think that also helps people think a little bit more about it's cool to have just buildings, but what's the story?
Yeah, it's interesting because I thought, you know, I looked up the photo and I saw the photo of the mural and I saw that there was, you know, the life and death, the fetus and the skull. And, you know, I think the obvious connection is that it's a hospital and that's where life begins and life ends often.
Totally.
Which, you know, an interesting tie to it because it didn't seem too, I guess, dark on account of the coloring, but more a fact of life.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm glad it came across that way.
Yeah.
I worked there for quite a few years in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So I was like in the dungeon of St. Mary Corwin. And most of the people in my life that have become really close, I met there. And so I just have a huge personal tie to that place. So it also, I wanted it to be a little bit eerie, but it's got such a duality about it.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So, I can see that.
Yeah. And it was really interesting to go through all those old archives and it's like, oh, this is kind of sketchy. This is really cool. And I really wanted to tie in that whole motif there.
So you mentioned that you had a personal tie to it and you worked in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Was the St. Mary Corwin the first thing you thought of when you heard about the mural project, or did you have to simmer on it?
Good question. I actually got rejected twice with my designs. And I think as a young artist, that's always hard to deal with the first couple times. Because you're like, what's wrong with me? Why don't you like me? But it kind of getting rejected a couple times with my designs kind of led to that place where I could really find some Pueblo history. My initial designs had religious elements in them, mm-hmm. so they couldn't have that on the levee. But I I found a way to sneak it in with the Catholic hospital.
Yeah.
So it did. Getting rejected a couple times really led me to that huge project that I'm so proud of, and I'm glad it happened, honestly.
Okay. Yeah, so it's like a kismet situation.
Yep. Yep.
So how long did it take you to complete a mural of that size?
6 months, I believe. Yes. And the grant actually gave us an extension because their funding came late. Thank goodness, because I thought I was going to be able to do that in like 3 months. Mm-hmm. No. And it was in the dead of summer. So I got heat stroke out there. No. So that put me down for a couple weeks, too. So I learned a lot of lessons this year.
Yeah. So how does it work? Like painting at that 45 degree angle? Like, is it precarious?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is. I'm afraid of heights. And so I'm pretty sure every day I went out there, I just prayed of like, if I fall in, just hope somebody finds me. And some painters don't, but most of us have climbing equipment on. So I had a harness, rappelling gear, a rope and all that sort of thing. But I did fall a couple times too, because it gets slick, especially if you're not watching your feet. Cynthia always told us, watch your toes, watch where your toes are. But if you step in your wet paint, you're going to go down.
Oh, yeah.
So like my second day out there primering, I slipped on a seam and the fisherman just watched me tumble kind of down the wall and I was just hanging there.
Oh, no.
So you learn to respect it very quickly.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine it's not only the challenge of, you know, executing your design, but it's the challenge of literally making it through executing that design.
Yes. Yep. And I would go home the first couple weeks and my hands were just curling shut, like cramped shut. And stuff. So my body really took a while to get used to that. But after a couple months, I felt so strong. It was kind of cool to feel that way.
Oh, that's good. You mentioned your hands. I know your art is called Dead Hand Art.
Mm-hmm.
I did read on your bio, but if you want to explain to our listeners what the story behind that name.
Sure. So my first job, I worked out on the industrial park doing like data entry for the state late at night. And a bunch of us had been sick for a couple weeks out there. We didn't really know what was wrong with us. And it kind of came to a point where a bunch of people got very, very sick and had to be rushed to the hospital. And they found cyanide and jet fuel in our air vents. So quite a few of us left with nerve damage.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah. So, and the only evidence I really have of it is the Pueblo Chieftain article on my wall beneath my degrees, because I did a lot to cover that whole thing up since it was a state building. But I have nerve damage in my extremities, and I figured that's a really cool nickname.
Oh, yeah.
So, because
you have to work with your hands a lot. So I imagine, you know, pushing through that nerve damage is, you know, creates an emotional tie to your artwork.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that your health and your body are very temporary, fragile things. Mm-hmm. But I like would tie my paintbrush to me and stuff. Cause I would, the first couple of days I threw my paintbrush in the water and I'm going to poison some fish. Oh my gosh. So just kind of working around that sort of stuff.
Oh yeah.
But I also, I like watching how people get famous. So like we're talking ghost, mm-hmm. just kind of watching rock stars and that sort of thing. They kind of create a character for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
So that's kind of Dead Hand for me as a place to kind of step into mm-hmm. when I'm an artist, and then I can step out of it.
Oh, yeah. Like a stage persona.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I can see that.
Hey, y'all. Ben Kaysen here. Just want to jump in and let you know that the Pueblo Star Journal has a new Pueblo sports podcast called Pueblo Star Sports. I host it with my good buddy Brandon Samora, and we get big guests from around the city in to talk about their sports teams or their clubs or everything going on. If you want to check out that podcast, look up Pueblo Star Sports on your podcast platform as soon as you're done with this podcast. Thank you for listening. Let's jump right back into it.
You have a theme of memento mori throughout your work. I imagine that ties in with the Dead Hands art, as mm-hmm. you mentioned.
Yep. I like giving people things to think about.
Mm-hmm. So you have a second mural you're working on. Does it tie into the memento mori as well, or...
Yes.
Okay.
It does. Good call. And it was actually the first one I started, but it didn't have a deadline. So it kind of halted for the sake of that big project. But it's got, again, a big skull, big eyeball flowers, a big tooth in it, and an egg. So I kind of like playing with that imagery of like untapped potential in the egg and mm-hmm. kind of some surrealist elements. But I need to get back out there and finish it.
Mm. When did you start that one?
Great question. I don't remember. 2021 at some point. Oh, okay. I think early. I think it was like February 2021, but that was the one I could take a break from.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The St. Mary Corwin one took a focus.
Yep.
The spotlight.
Yep. And then I've got another job coming up out there. So I figure that would be a good way to kind of get back into shape is finishing that other one.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to motivate yourself after the holidays to go and do manual labor.
Oh, yeah. It's like it sounds like it's a full body, you know, taxing environment just beyond the normal expectations, I would say, of art.
Yep.
That you're just trying to get your design down, move on with your day.
Totally.
You know? Now it's like you got to strap in, literally.
Yeah. Strap in and make something.
Yeah. I used to do rock climbing. So
cool.
I was terrified of it. Did it anyways.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine being like 30 feet up and like, okay, I got to paint now.
Yeah. I'm very grateful for the rock climbers in my orbit, essentially, because they helped me get comfortable with the equipment.
Oh, yes.
Because I don't know that I would have done it without their encouragement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The rock climbing community is, you know, obviously they have to be very careful, very safe. Like, but you also have to trust the gear.
Mm-hmm. Which I think about all the time. I'm just waiting for something to snap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you have to trust your partners, too, because if they're belaying you, you know, getting you down into your position, there's that, you know, precarious, again, situation of, well, hopefully they're paying attention,
Ew. You
know. So, yeah. So it's like kind of on the nose, you know, to be doing that and then also be painting about, you know, memento mori. Subjects.
Totally.
Yeah. So it seems to weave throughout your work process and finish.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I'm glad it's coming across.
So how would you describe your style if you could put it into words?
One thing that my senior classes here at CSU made us do was put stuff like that into words. So thank you, professors. For forcing us to do that.
Shout out.
I call myself a punk surrealist. I'm a huge fan of dreams, some just kind of like visions, that sort of thing. But at the same time, like skulls, bones, weird stuff. pop art for sure. I just want to be the brightest, most obnoxious thing on the wall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what led you into art?
Great question. I tried to go to college when I graduated high school, and I wasn't really ready for it. I was like, why would I do this when I can go work? So I went to work, and I just went back to college 5 years ago and got my art degree. So my whatever skill set you see on the wall and everything is not natural talent. It's hard work in school and practice. So I think I kind of just had to make up my mind of like, I wanted to be an artist and I was always going to make an excuse that I was a college dropout. So I kind of just got my shit together and decided I was going to totally throw myself in that direction. Mm-hmm. So I think I just see that I'm good at it. And I'm a fairly organized business person too. So I'm seeing the avenues where I can make a living out of it, and I'm just going for it.
Mm-hmm. So about business and art, how do you maintain that balance of, you know, knowing that you got to get the business side done, but also knowing that you got to get the art side done?
Yeah, it's a good question because it is a balance and it's a delicate dance. And when I hear experts and professionals speak on it, they say you're going to do a lot more in the business end of your art then you're going to be actually making art. So not letting the art making consume me, and I have to make sure I'm marketing myself. I'm doing my QuickBooks. I'm keeping up on my taxes, doing all that sort of stuff. And thankfully, I did a mass communications minor while I was here. So that was hugely helpful in just how to be unashamed about marketing yourself, too.
Oh, yes.
You know, because and I think once you start seeing that it can be a lucrative business, that helps the business side come easier. And then the more I focus on my craft, the more timely I can make it. So I'm starting to find that balance. It's very hard. I got myself a time clock finally because I just work from my own studio. And I was like, oh, my God, I worked like a 16-hour day and I didn't take a lunch. So I got a time clock. Yeah, I got a time clock and I'm making sure I'm having like 8-hour days. I want to make the life I want to live. Mm-hmm. I don't need to just be like wandering around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, certainly. It's to keep that, you know, life balance, mm-hmm. you know. So to go into marketing, what else do you do and where can we find your art?
I have my fine art practice. I'm represented here at Blowback Gallery here in Pueblo. You can find me in Florence at the Floco Gallery, and I've got some places in Colorado Springs as well. My goal this next year is to make it another city over with my art shows. I do have a show coming up here at CSU in the Fine Art Gallery the second Friday of February. So it's going to be exciting to come back here and show my work too. But I'm mostly just trying to pour it all back into Pueblo right now. I think Pueblo can really rival some of the art towns for the freaking fantastic stuff we have here.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think my goals are to really help all of the artists as much as I can to kind of elevate all of us together. Because Pueblo should be a destination for art consumers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Especially with the levee.
Like, oh, yeah.
What a unique opportunity to go down there and see that big. Like, if we get the world record back.
Oh, yeah.
That would be wild.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully we can do that, you know.
Yep.
Going back to the Pueblo levee, how did you find that opportunity of making a mural there and... do you have any connection to the levee?
I initially helped. Jen DeGroot had applied and gotten one out there. And so that was my first chance to rappel and do some of that because she had a big crowd of people come out one day. It was really cool. So that kind of got me like have the taste a little bit of it. But Cynthia obviously is in the art circle and she's such a big advocate for that project. So she kind of is really good about bugging you. Hey, you should apply. Hey, you should do this. And she kind of gives you the courage when you think you don't have it. So shout out to Cynthia for getting some of us out of our comfort zone.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like a nice support system mm-hmm. that we have going here, especially rooted in Cynthia, who's sister episode of this debut.
Cool.
Who's going to explain more of the historical perspective of the Pueblo levee project.
Good. Yeah. Cause she's one of the OG painters.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I think that's what's really cool about the opportunity now is the generation that started it is still here. And there's quite a few that are still working as artists and we have that chance to kind of share stories, mm-hmm. even though all of their stuff got drug up and crumbled.
Yeah.
But, they're excited to see this rejuvenation of it too. So that's been pretty neat.
Yeah, the impact's still there, even if the artwork's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
But I definitely had the feeling when I was out there. Let me tell you, just being on the wall in like 96 degree heat, you kind of get a little loopy. But I just had such a sense of what I was standing on top of. The rail yard is there. The water is there. All that old art is there. And this just the very intense feeling of being part of all that energy was wild. Mm-hmm. And it's much nicer to not be running from the cops and hopping over the fence at night like they used to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little more soothing. Yeah. Even if you're
some chill
in climbing gear.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So I can't imagine being in climbing gear and worried about cops.
The cops.
Up.
Yeah. That's not very effective for running. Yeah.
You're just shaking lines.
Yeah, totally. You know? Yeah.
Paint can't be straight at all.
Nope.
So.
Hey, this is Cynthia Ramu. With the Pueblo Levee Mural Project. Thanks for listening to the 45 Degrees series. If you're listening to this and want to start the process of painting a mural, please reach out to me at Pueblo Levee 2022@gmail.com and I'll be glad to get back to you and give you any updates or just guide you. And we can get the process started. You can find more information on Facebook at Pueblo Levy Project Facebook page. And you can even message me there also. So I look forward to connecting with more artists in the community. And I look forward to giving you more updates as we get into the spring. There's going to be a lot more happening. You guys have a great day. See you soon.
Have you thought about painting the levee?
I do dabble in art, but not necessarily anything on that extreme level.
Yeah.
I don't even like painting on big canvases.
Fair.
And so, so I don't know if I could exactly do that. I did tell my sister, my sister's Anna Harbert.
Okay.
For listeners. She does a lot of art. She did the art walk, I believe, last year.
Cool.
So she was able to participate in that. I told her she should do a mural, but we'll have to see if she's like keen on the idea of being in climbing gear and doing that.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, she's kind of scared of heights, but you know, maybe it's about the opportunity and not necessarily about the comfort zone.
That's true. And there are some places where you can get on the ground that you're not above the water. Mm-hmm. Too, if you go further up, some artists got to actually just stand on the ground and look at it. You're still kind of have to rappel off the side, but you're not in that much of a precarious situation.
Yeah. That's the theme, the precarious situation.
Yes. But we need artists. There's a long stretch before we get that world record back.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. So for your other artwork, what are the mediums? How would you describe it?
A majority of my practice is painting, but I have been dabbling in film as well since college. None of this was expected. I thought I was going to come out with like a graphic design sort of person, but I took painting classes and I was like, oh, this is that. I'm okay. I'm okay at this. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of acrylic painting, but as we were talking before the show too, Kick-Ass Film Festival is coming up again. And so this will be our third year competing as the same team. And having film as a medium has been so fun. It's been so wild. And it's the ultimate collaborative thing because you can paint together, but when you make film together, you really see this part of your teammates that you weren't ready for.
What's your team's name?
Team Dead Bird.
Nice.
Okay, yep.
Cool.
So we're really excited. We hang out together. We're friends in general. And then in between festivals, we'll just make little shorts and stuff too. So we've really been enjoying the practice of it and just kind of sharpening our skills and watching our stuff get better every year has been so rewarding too. Because the first year you're just like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah. It's throwing yourself into the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What type of, I guess, genres do you do for those short films?
You know, we try to make them funny, but they're terrifying. our group is very nihilistic. it's interesting, but it kind of has this creepy air to it when we make it, even if we're not intending for it, which I think is in a lot of our own art and stuff too. So it's a little eerie, but I think the past two festivals we've gotten thriller as a genre. So we're fingers crossed we don't get thriller for a third year.
Oh, okay.
If we do, it's going to get weird.
Yeah.
But mostly horror movies, thrillers, post-apocalyptic stuff.
Cool. So you try to infuse comedy in that too? Or
we try.
Try.
It's disturbing.
Oh, okay.
It's funny to us.
Yeah. Okay. I see now. I was thinking like horror comedy is like Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
That would be awesome.
Or is it that funny or is it more like Wednesday type of humor?
It's like timing stuff that's funny to us. Or just the way like Nick will deliver some lines that are just mess, like his delivery of it. We're just like, leave that in. That was so bizarre. And so I think it's mostly just our timing and kind of the weirdness about us that we think is funny. But we did get some laughs in the theater about in one of our films. I like die in a hospital bed and there was a gunshot sound in the audio track and we left it in. So everyone's watching us laugh at this like off screen, me shooting myself scene.
Oh.
Like it's messed up stuff.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's like a shock you into laughing situation.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I can see that. Yeah.
So we're trying to perfect the art of that.
I see that. Yeah. So it's like a dry, dark humor.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Yeah.
Yep. It's very bonding.
Yeah. I imagine. Yeah. To be able to laugh about something that you're not necessarily supposed to mm-hmm. laugh at can be it's one of those unique film experiences that you can have.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then watching, I think, like, I'm fairly used to at this point having gallery openings and seeing my art on the walls, but sitting down with the people that you've made a film with in a room of other filmmakers is one of the most rewarding experiences I've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
It's so cool.
So does that come across, like, do you get that same feeling when people see your murals?
I think so. And I think it's really a time capsule of the youth I still have and my ability physically to do it, because that's not going to last forever. Mm-hmm. And especially I work alone. I don't have help for some reason of my own choice, but I'm really here to see what I can do. And that to me is one of the coolest things, is when I can pull something off technically that's very difficult on that scale by myself.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, I'm proving myself at a certain point, you know?
Oh yeah.
So it's been very rewarding, but it's also rewarding to watch everybody out there working and and be very in the moment of this era. Cause we're just out there all kind of, you know, I don't know. We're having a moment.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very intergenerational and then also communal based to be able to return to the murals along the levee, but then also have influences from the previous murals and also the muralists and being able to also work with up and coming artists who have this opportunity.
Oh yeah. It's so cool. And even the walkers and the fishermen and the people that's their scene down there too. They'll stop by, they get to know who you are. They will tell you feedback from across the way, what they think. It's very communal, which has been fantastic. Cause it's very much the heart of Pueblo down there. We love that river.
Yeah, that sounds lovely.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time.
Yeah. Is there any final remarks that you have about the mural or about your art?
Make art, people. Do it. Do the thing. Come out. We need painters on the levee. We've got, like I said, we've got quite a stretch to get that world record back. I think we have to make it to Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty certain Cynthia will be able to know, but... you can go to PuebloLevee.org and check out the project. And, you know, it's totally worth it. If you're scared, you don't know about your art, whatever, you should definitely do it once. Get your friends together, make something happen. That's what it used to be about. And that's what it can really do, something cool for you.
Yeah. And it sounds like the artist community around here is fully willing to help anyone who's a little nervous.
Oh, yeah.
Or don't have the right gear, say the climbing gear, you know, just even the fishermen are helping with.
Totally.
You know, criticisms.
Yes. And they helped me find good sun gear and stuff too, like to keep myself out of the sun.
Oh, that's
shout
nice.
Out to you, fishermen.
Yeah. Go fishermen.
Like, yeah. They were like, that girl's kind of pale. Better help her out. But no, we're totally willing to help help people to do whatever they want. Or we also have had some older people commission artists. They can't get on the wall anymore, but they have a vision. So they'll pay artists to also make that happen too.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great to have that, you know, allowing the people who can't necessarily make those murals physically happen themselves, they'll have a way to still execute it.
Totally.
Which is great. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming here and speaking with us. I'm going to go into the outro and read that real quick, unless you have anything extra to say.
No, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for taking the time to come on our 45 Degrees podcast. Listeners, go check out Shannon's art, whether it's walking by the mural on the levee or checking out her work online or in person. You can follow her at Dead Hand Art on Instagram. If you like this podcast, please share it with a friend and give us a follow on your podcast platform. If you want more background information on the Levee Project, go listen to our first episode with Cynthia Remu. Thank you so much for listening.
This show is brought to you by the Pueblo Star Journal. We understand that some people get their news differently than print. We have a print edition that comes out every first Friday of the month, but we're focusing now on podcasts as well. You can find our podcast right here by following the Voices of Pueblo, as well as checking out Pueblo Star Sports, which is our sports podcast. The voice you just heard was Cynthia Ramu. She's one of the first founders of the Pueblo Levy Mural Project, and she was the first guest on the 45 Degrees podcast. If you want to check out the episode with her, go find it right here on Voices of Pueblo and scroll until you see the orange 45 Degrees logo. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day.